Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying Hebrews, and we are on part three. And our lesson today is lesson number five. So we'll begin today in our study with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Father, that we can come together and study your word, and Father, that we have the Holy Spirit to teach us and give us wisdom of your truths. And I pray as we study together and learn of you that we will apply it to our very lives and go out into the world and tell others that don't know Jesus about Jesus and what he has done for us and for them if they will believe. And we give you all the praise and all the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our lesson today is rather lengthy because we're going to use a lot of cross-reference scriptures that will help us to understand more about what these verses in Hebrews chapter 12 are about. We've studied last week the entire chapter, but today we're going to break it down and we're going to get deeper into the study than what we did last week by going back and looking at other scriptures that point to what is written by the author of Hebrews. Instead of going over all of these chapters, I'm just going to remind us about Hebrews and what Hebrews is about. We have learned that Hebrews is written by an unknown author. No one knows for sure who wrote it, but it was written to Hebrews that had been converted into the Christian belief, the gospel, and they were going through a lot of strife and trouble because they had accepted and believed the gospel, the truth, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So many of the other unbelievers were pressing them about this and trying to convince them that they were wrong. But we know that the writer of Hebrews is encouraging, and this entire letter is encouragement to these Hebrew believers. And today, as we read and study, we find it is encouraging to us also. So let's begin our study today looking now at chapter 12 of Hebrews, verses 18 through 19. And I'll read these verses. Verse 18, "For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them any more. Verse 20, "For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, looking back at Hebrews 10, we learned that was the last warning given, and the context has been exhortation that they live by faith and endure the discipline of God as his children, those that he loves. So here we see that it taught us, don't take God's discipline lightly or faint when reproved. And it went on to tell us to be subject to the Father of spirits and live. Now in 12:15, the writer says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. And then as we read in these verses, 12:25 said, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Verse 25 is similar to chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and the warnings that were also given in chapter 3 and 4. And these warnings were saying, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart in unbelief. So everything that the writer is saying to these Hebrew believers is that you should keep your mind on what you have learned through the gospel of God. And if you hear this, you're not to harden your heart in unbelief, but you're to believe what you have heard. So we want to look now at the Old Testament, and we'll be looking at Exodus, and we're going to see in Exodus 19 how that God led Israel out of Egypt, and they came to the wilderness of Sinai, and the Lord came down the mountain on the third day. So I'm going to start with verse 1 and read this entire chapter, and then we'll go back and review it. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them and I'm getting an interruption, and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. And then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I have come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Verse 10, then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down from Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves, that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast. He shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. Verse 14, so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes, and he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. And then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunderings and lightning and thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Verse 19, and when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. And then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through the gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord concentrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and concentrate it. And then the Lord said to him, away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priest or the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Here we see in these verses, this was an earthly mountain, and it was called Mount Sinai. And this was about the third month after God had led Israel out of Egypt that they came to the wilderness of Sinai. And the Lord came down to the mountain on the third day. And it was terrifying for the people. Even Moses said in Hebrews 12:21 that he was full of fear and trembling. And the top of the mountain was like a cloud of fire and smoke, and it quaked violently. And there were boundaries set that no one touched the mountain, even the animals. And God spoke the Ten Commandments from the top of the mountain so that all the people heard his voice. But they didn't want to hear it anymore, because of the terror that was connected with it. So from that time, God spoke to Moses, and Moses told the people what he said. Now, in verse 20, God came to test them, and so that the fear of him would remain in them, so that they wouldn't sin. Now, this would be an awesome scene of the holiness of the living God. And we learned in the scripture last week in the last verse of chapter 12 that God is a consuming fire. So we can see how that Deuteronomy 4 relates also to Exodus. So let's look now at Deuteronomy verses 10 through 14, and we'll see the relation that was written here. It's about 40 years later that Moses prepared the children that came out of Egypt. And I'll start with verse 10, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. Then you came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the midst of heaven with darkness, cloud, and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. And you heard the sound of the words, but saw no form. You only heard a voice. So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. And the Lord commanded me at the time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might observe them in the land which you cross over, to possess. So this passage that was written in the book of Deuteronomy was 40 years later, and Moses was preparing the children, those that came out of Egypt, to go into the land of promise. But remember, only those who were under 20 years of age in Egypt were still alive at this point of time. Because of unbelief, all of those that were over 20 years old died. So here he reminded them of what took place at Horeb, at Mount Sinai, that we read early in Exodus. So Moses used what happened when God spoke as a warning to that generation who had seen their parents die in the wilderness. They were killed by God by breaking his covenant they had agreed at Mount Sinai. So he told them, this younger group, to watch themselves lest they act or behave corruptly. Specifically, that warning was against making idols and worshiping them. So here, the author of Hebrews also used the same event as a warning to those who might not listen to God that spoke to his son. And this is what he said to them: don't refuse him who is speaking, because there is no escape for those who turn away. So there's a contrast now. We saw Mount Zion and Mount Sinai. We want to read some of these verses and look at the contrast that is between the two. And I'll go back and review this for you. Believers in the New Covenant come to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, the judge of all. Now, when you look at this and you look at what the New Covenant, we know that under the Old Covenant, they lived under the law, and they had to follow the Ten Commandments and what the law taught. And this was what this mountain, that was Mount Sinai. It represented the Old Covenant, the living under the law. But now he is telling them, as believers in the gospel, and believers in Jesus, that he came to this earth and walked on the earth, and that he died on the cross, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day. So that is the New Covenant. And this is Mount Zion. That is what it represents. We know this took place when Jesus came in Jerusalem, and he died here in Jerusalem on the mount there. So at myriads of angels are before him in the general assembly. And we know that there's a heavenly assembly in the New Covenant. So the church believers are those that are enrolled in heaven, in the heavenly assembly that was at Mount Zion. And the spirits of the righteous made perfect might be a reference to believers that had died, or to all believers. So we know then that Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, brought better blood to sacrifice. And it's through his blood that those who are part of the new covenant are righteous. Now let's look at chapter 12. And we want to look at verses 26 through 27. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So, in the book of Haggai, we saw that he quoted, even in the Old Testament, Haggai being one of the prophets, and he spoke about what the Hebrew writer is saying here. He is using this scripture from Haggai. I want to read Haggai 2, 5 through 7, and you can see that he is using these verses from the Old Testament. Haggai 2, verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. And I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. So God said through Haggai the prophet that he was going to shake the heavens and the earth once more. So he'll also shake the nations and fill his house, the temple of Jerusalem, with glory. So we see that the author of Hebrews quoted Haggai for the purpose of warning to these Hebrew believers. The created things will be removed, and what remains are the things which cannot be shaken. And these are the things of God's own kingdom. These, he is referring to the things that cannot be shaken, are the things of the still future. It's something for these Jewish believers to look forward to. So, in reading in the book of Revelation, he tells us in the book of Revelation, which is the future that has not yet come, that God will dwell among his people, and there'll be no tears, no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. See, all things will be new, because everything that is in the earth will be shaken and removed, and he is going to make a new heaven and a new earth, all things new. So the overcomers, the ones that conquer, those that endure, all believers, even today, will inherit these things. So nothing unclean will go into the new Jerusalem. Now, part of this lesson includes chapter 13, the last chapter. And I'm just briefly going to point out some highlights in chapter 13. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and we'll cover more or complete the coverage in 13 as we go next week further into that study. So let me read Hebrews 13, 1 through 9. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Now, looking at these verses, he was giving them special instructions in these verses 1 through 9. He tells them to continue in loving the brethren. And then he goes on and says, show hospitality. And then he says, remember Christians who are in prison. And the next thing he tells them is to honor marriage. God is going to judge adulterers and fornicators. And then next he says, don't love money, but be content with what you have. And then he says to imitate the faith of those who spoke the word of God to you. And then lastly, he says, don't be carried or led away by various, diverse, and strange teachings. And next week we'll be studying the remainder of chapter 13, verses 10 through 14. They have it's about going outside the camp to bear Jesus' reproach. And then in verses 15 through 16, relate back to chapter 12, 28. So it's saying, obey and submit to leaders and pray for them. The recipients of this letter were specifically asked to pray for the author, the writer of this, that he might be restored to them. Maybe he was in prison, as Timothy was in prison. And then in verses 20 through 25, we find a closing statement of benediction and greetings. So next week, we will do the final exhortation of Hebrews. So let us close today's lesson in prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we don't have to come to the mountain of Sinai, but we can come to Mount Zion under the new covenant because Jesus covered our sins. He wrote the new covenant, and we are set free. We are set free because He has given us eternal life through salvation. And we're so thankful for your word that teaches us. And we believe through you, Father, you have given us faith and helped us believe and to understand your truths. And I thank you for our study in the book of Hebrews that has pointed us to the one and the only one that we may have life everlasting. Jesus, that is the way, the truth, and the life. And there's no other way. And I'm so thankful that you, Father, have pinned this down. It wasn't only pinned for these Hebrews there at that time when it was written, but it was written for all mankind, for all, that we may believe and have eternal life. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit that has led us and taught us through all of this study. And we give it all to you, all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.